We have two readings this morning from the New Testament. The first is John 12, verses 23 to 26, and the second is Romans 6, verses 1 to 10. So starting first at John 12, from verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in the world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my Father will honor the one who serves me." Going now to Romans 6, I'm starting at verse 1, the title is Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. Starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and that we no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks ever so much, Theo. Let's just pray for Chris as she comes to speak to us. Our Father, we do thank you for our sister Chris. We thank you for all that you have done in her life, all that she has learnt about you, and the abilities that you have given her. We ask now that her words will be your word to us, that we may be strengthened in living your life, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Andrew said I sounded like I had a lisp last time I spoke. So you've heard that I'm church secretary here. Now, Steve, our minister, some time ago, he said to me, Chris, you realise that if the minister is indisposed for any reason on a Sunday, it's the job of the church secretary to step up and preach. Well, nobody mentioned that to me when I signed up to be church secretary, quite frankly. Anyway, so today you have the reserve team standing in Steve's stead. I'm actually not going to really preach a sermon. I'm calling it a harvest reflection. So the Bible offers a whole host of options to talk about harvest. You know, sowing the seeds. There's a whole lot of things you can think about. But I especially like the sort of repeated illustration of joy that is described as the shout of the harvesters, or the chaps treading the grapes for the new wine. But best of all, I think, I actually quite like the fact that the Israelites' harvest festival lasted a whole week. And I'm just wondering whether we need to sort of rethink our plans for next year, actually. But I've chosen instead to talk about seeds. And it may not seem immediately clear to you that it's very joyful, but bear with me till the end. In John 12, Jesus says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." The context in which Jesus spoke these words was actually the last week of his life on earth. So he was in Jerusalem, and he knew he had to face crucifixion. He knew he had to face death, and he knew he had to die. But then he goes on to talk about me and you, because he says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life and this world will keep it for eternal life. And that we must follow Jesus to death. The theme of dying to self, of giving up one's life, is actually a dominant and an important and a powerful theme throughout the whole of the New Testament. And it's actually, furthermore, it's actually fundamental for understanding what discipleship is. If we haven't really grasped it, we'll be kind of having discipleship light and not really true discipleship. In the Gospels, Jesus is pretty uncompromising in regard to following him. And he says things that actually we find really quite uncomfortable and difficult. But to put it bluntly, we must die. The old self must die before we can truly live. Now, hold on, and you might say, hold on a minute, Chris, you're getting a bit weird now. You know, it's a bit extreme, it's a bit radical. You know, can't we just live a life that seeks to be good and to do good and to do good to others? Isn't that enough? And the answer's no. It doesn't and it cannot work like that. So let's see what Romans 6 has to say about it. All of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is a great scripture for Baptists. Let's think for a moment what it means to be baptized into Jesus' death. Now, I suspect that most of us here have had some knowledge of death. Maybe we've lost someone very dear to us. We understand something of what it means about death. And I want you just for a moment to think about the loss and that separation, and the fact that the person that you love is no longer here. Because that is in the same way, that's what happens when we become Christians. Our old self dies. We are gone, we are lost, we are dead. So that's what it means by being united with Jesus in baptism, in his death. Now, my dad became a Christian in his 50s. And it became something of a family joke that he actually had a powerful encounter with God while he was painting the pantry. And it might actually, you know, you might think about that. Next time you pick up a paintbrush, you might want to just pause and just think for a moment. But my dad had a really deep, profound, life-changing experience in that pantry. But it wasn't a happy one. He actually found it incredibly painful. It was really deep sorrow. He had to say goodbye to his life of 50-odd years. And it was not easy. He actually felt the pain of that. But he also had a sense of a horizon. He said he had a horizon, and that somehow he knew that over that next hill, there was something wonderful waiting for him. Which brings me on to the next great truth. To be baptized into Jesus' death is only half the story. because we are also raised with him in resurrection into new life. We lose ourselves, it's true, but we get ourselves back more fully in Jesus' resurrection. So what does this new life look like? This new life is a life of freedom, and we are free from the power of sin. Now, do not misunderstand me. We will continue to sin. We'll continue to need to repent. We'll continue to need to ask forgiveness of one another until we die from this world. But we are free from the power and the control of sin in our lives because the old self has died. And we are free from the control of the values of this world in which we live. Everyone, even those people who deny any existence of the spiritual realm at all, we are all controlled, motivated, energized, and driven by something. They can be good things, they can be bad things, they can be serious things, they can be trivial things, but we are all under the power of something. As Christians, we're under the authority and power of God. Our motivation, our energy, our drive are found in the reality and power of the grace of God in Christ. Now, it might seem to an outsider that our lives are sort of based on a set of rules. Do that. Don't do that. A sort of sterile, sort of metallic holiness. But they would be utterly, utterly wrong. The whole gospel is based on love. The love of the Father who sent Jesus. The love of Jesus who came and died. And the love of the Holy Spirit who helps us on life journey, on our life's journey. Love. It's at the heart and at the core. And actually, it's our love for Jesus, however feeble, however wobbly, however inconsistent. It's our love that prompts us to respond to God's love in obedience to him. It's love for Jesus which compels and constrains us. As we enter this love relationship with God, through sharing the baptism of Jesus, we become fully human, fully ourselves, because we are who we are meant to be. We are created to be lovers of God, and we are fully set free to do that. And we are complete and fulfilled, and we are given abundant life. So what's the fruit of our death and new life? Well, our hearts and minds are aligned to God's, and so we seek to live in his righteousness. We grow in love for those around us, and we see others as God sees them. God's kingdom grows because of the witness of our love in our lives and the power that we have in our lives. And yes, because it is harvest themed, we'll see the fruits of the Spirit manifest, including that joy like that of the harvesters, like that of people treading the grapes. I love the fact, have you noticed that in one of Peter's letters, he writes of Paul the Apostle, he goes, that Paul, in some of his letters, contain some things which are difficult to understand. Peter's not wrong. These things are hard to understand. But as we grapple with them, and as we think about them, as we meditate on them, then we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it's so worth it. Because actually we know God more in a deeper way. So this harvest message, if you like, this reflection is, let's die that we might truly live. Amen.